Libraries were full of ideas, perhaps the most dangerous and powerful of all weapons.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast bringing you guys the updates you need on all the internet's favorite books. We are busy girls, and we are going to tell you if they are worth fitting into your schedule. I'm Casey.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Today, we are bringing you what a lot of people are turning to in the ACOTAR void. Fourth Wing has briefly taken over this space, but a lot of people are turning to Sarah J. Maas, one of her other series, the Throne of Glass series. And so, since people are starting to recommend this older series again, we're bringing it to you. So, today we're doing debatably book one.
It is book one.
It's a whole nother conversation. If you want to read Assassin's Blade or Throne of Glass first, I think we all read Throne of Glass first.
Mm-hmm. I think the standard reading experience is you read Throne of Glass first.
Yeah. Someone called it the romantic experience to read Throne of Glass first. I don't know. Anyway, Sarah J. Maas wrote this when she was like 16. So it's YA. Less steamy than ACOTAR, but still like some good love interest activity. But anyway, we start with a character. Her name is Selena. She's in a prison. I'm not going to say her last name. I'm sorry. It's kind of
Sardothian.
The names like in this book are something else.
Yeah, the names, you're going to be like, who? Because I'm going to say something and you'll be like, that's not how it looked in the book.
And it's so funny because all over book talk, they have like video clips of SJM saying, I will never again make such complicated names, because trying to get someone to say Kale
after saying Chol in your head for 8 books.
I'm like, and she's 16. Where did you come up with these names, girl? I wasn't that smart. Anyway, she's in a prison called Indovir. And that's basically, you're sent there to work hard until you die. And she's there because she has this history of being an assassin. And all of a sudden, she's pulled out of the prison, selected by the prince of the country to compete as his, I don't know, tribute with 23 other people, which all happen to be men, to become the king's
blade
hand assassin, basically.
Yeah, she's to become the like dirty doer for the king. So you get kind of, she's ripped out of prison, thrown into life in the castle. She spends a lot of time with the prince and the prince's chief guard, who's training her back into shape so she can compete in these like vicious trials. And then like while they're all doing this trial stuff, some evil paranormally stuff starts happening in the castle, but magic's been banned, so then it's like this whole mystery too, and she gets wrapped into all of it.
Nice. First things first, I am so excited. Do you guys have reviews?
Yes, I do. And of course, I went 5 stars, because why could I go any lower for SJM? And I think this really encompasses me, because listeners don't know, but Casey and Caitlin know, I read this book series in high school and then came back to it after reading ACOTAR with them last year, or the year before. So this was kind of like a full circle moment. I did not realize it was the same author. And I was like, oh, my God, I recognize this book. And so I then reread the series. So this reviewer had a similar experience. And she said, it's been 6 years since I first picked up this book and discovered this series. I've read it 6 times since. All the feelings continue to exist and intensify each time. I'm going to love this series till I'm old and gray.
That's cute.
All right, I can read mine next. I did try to find a bad review for this book, but they were all pissing me off. So I ended up with a 3.5 star one.
Honestly, same. I was reading these reviews. I was like, oh, these uncultured swine.
Yeah, I was like, these fucking idiots. Their opinion doesn't deserve our publicity. So this is a 3.5-star review on Goodreads. I'm glad I gave it a fifth try. Note to self, don't judge books by how they seem during the midst of school stress.
Facts.
And I just thought that was so busy girl relatable.
My sister has been trying to work through Throne of Glass after ACOTAR. She's a school teacher. I think it took her like 6 months to read Throne of Glass, and she is so stuck on the second one because she's so busy. Yeah. And it's like hard to read a book, especially a fantasy book, and expend that energy when you've been like using your energy to teach tiny humans all day.
Oh, yeah. No, I guess I might as well spoil my own opinion. I have such a soft spot for Throne of Glass, but I still have not finished it. And it's because the books are so long.
The series, not this book.
No, the first book is not that long, but every book in the series gets longer. But I think they're so good. And I think they change so much and grow so much. Like, I think I said it before on the podcast. Catherine reminds me of Bryce. Caitlin reminds me of Farah. And Selena is my homegirl. But they're just so big that I have not been able to read it without making it part of the podcast. So now I'm really, really excited to finish the series because obviously we're going to do them all.
And I'll read my review now because it kind of fits this train of thought we are talking about. Also, the Storygraph user's name is Eggroll Nicole. That made me giggle.
That's great.
It's a 3-star review. This book was something. I love SJM, but this book I can't even describe. The plot was intriguing for sure, but I was definitely expecting more oomph. When I got to the middle of the book, I honestly got so bored I fell asleep. The final battle did nothing for me. I will not be continuing this series.
Huh.
3-star review.
See, I thought the book was so short that you just could not finish it.
Yeah, I'm trying to like take myself back. I read this in 2021. It was full lockdown. I'd finished ACOTAR and randomly it was like, wonder if this lady wrote any other books. She did.
A lot of other books.
I was like, oh, cool. This was while waiting for Silver Flames to come out. That's when I was reading this. So for context. So I was like sitting on my couch just reading all day because we were on lockdown. So I don't remember, but I thought it was, I don't know, like, I kept reading, but like I said, it's taken my sister like 6 months to finish the first book.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people who read ACOTAR first,
this is harder
after
to
all
read.
The hype, go back to her YA books and are like, where's the smut and stuff? It's like, she wrote this when she was 16.
It's a very different vibe, but also like, it's the same SJM world building and stuff like that. But like, it's YA, not adult. So you have to get yourself out of that.
Yes.
So, I fully believe you have to appreciate this series as its own thing. You can't hold it up to ACOTAR, especially because actually it's extremely similar to the ACOTAR in the fact that the first book is the worst one. Not that I didn't like the first one, but it's not as good as the rest of this series becomes.
And in the first book, you're contained to just such a small section of the world.
Which is very SJM.
And the more you read along her series, the more you see of the world in every series. And so more interesting.
I would say book one is my second least favorite of Throne of Glass. The book two is my least favorite. But then it gets so much better past book three and then on.
I think one of the big parts of it is that because SJM was just a much younger writer, I think she plays a lot more in the typical YA tropes in the first books. Because she really hasn't found herself as an author yet. And you can really see, that's part of what I love about the series though, is I think that I feel like you can really read her growth as an author and she stops sort of doing that and kind of becomes the queen SJM we think of. But the first books are a lot more like typical YA.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
And if you don't normally read YA, it's going to be an adjustment.
Especially if you just read ACOTAR and Crescent City. It's going back in time.
Yes, absolutely. Well,
they're still beloved, like Catherine said. Overall Goodreads review, 4.2 out of 5. Overall Amazon, 4.5 out of 5. What are your thoughts? Did we all give it 5 stars?
No, I gave it 4 stars, actually. So My 16-year-old self gave it 5 stars. My more adult self after reading ACOTAR gives it 4. So I guess it's like a bias in the sense of like I read ACOTAR and then immediately jumped into this series again. So it was quite a change. But for young adults, I 10 out of 10 would recommend this book. It would be a 5-star for them, especially if you like traditional YA and YA tropes. I think it's a great foray into fantasy and getting you to become a fantasy adult like me. So I gave it 4 stars because I liked it, but like there were some traditional YA tropes that I didn't love. And I definitely wanted more from certain characters.
I 1000% agree. I was actually going to bring up the trope in question that cannot be named until the spoiler section. But I would have devoured this book as a teenager. As an adult, I was also going to give it 4 stars. I think it's good, but it's shorter and we don't quite get to the character development part that I think SJM is really good at. And that comes in later books full force. So it was a 4 out of 5 for me.
I looked back on mine. It was like when I like first got Goodreads. I gave it 5 stars. And I was reading this intermingled with ACOTAR. I don't know. I've said before, I'm a really easy to please fantasy reader. I just love fantasy. And I do like several YA fantasy series. So this was not like a big jump for me to be reading. And I wasn't upset really with it. Yeah, it's slower. And the first book's like a totally different plot than the whole rest of the series. But that's how she works her magic. So.
Okay. So our first non-spoiler discussion question is this book more plot or character driven?
100% plot. I mean, she's taken from a prison to get into a trials to become an assassin for the king.
I was going to say, this is the most plot driven of all of the books, I think.
Yes. I would argue that some of the other books could be made an argument of character driven.
Yeah.
This one is definitely like the plot is happening to her.
Yeah. The plot is plotting plottily and no one else is doing much else. Okay. So kind of a question we've touched on a little bit already, but how does this book compare to the first books of ACOTAR and Crescent City?
I feel like it and ACOTAR are fairly comparable in how, like we've mentioned, it's a different plot than the rest of the series. Your world is really small at first. You're just kind of getting to know the character. There's kind of a trials angle to the book. Crescent City 1, I don't know. That one really goes like balls to the wall right away. So, I mean, there's some similarities in like the love stories, but I'm not going to spoil that. Otherwise, yeah, I think this one and ACOTAR are very much the same foundation to their series.
Yeah, I think Casey said this before, but Crescent City 1 is the best of the first books for SJM. And I totally agree with her on that statement. I would say it's very similar to ACOTAR, but the difference is that I think Throne of Glass, the main heroine, is really great. And I think it's better than the main heroine of ACOTAR. But I like the ending of ACOTAR more than I like the ending of Throne of Glass. I think that last third of a Court of Thorns and Roses is really like interesting and gets you more into the world. This one still stays pretty insular and it doesn't really finalize a lot. So there's a lot left hanging, which makes you want to keep reading. But at the same time, like in ACOTAR, you felt kind of a conclusion almost and then like a continuation.
It's true. Like there's much more of a future set up at the end of this book. They're like, oh, there's a whole wide world and ahead. And in the other, you're like, oh, it's still in this one little part of the world.
Yeah. I completely agree with all those comments. To me, this main heroine is a lot more like Nesta. And if you've listened to our other episodes, y'all know how I feel about Nesta. Y'all know I'm a Nesta girl. And so I think that's part of why I just really hit it off with this character. But she is also a lot like Feyre in that it takes her character arc a long time to really like give her maturity. And so if you read bad reviews of the book, a lot of them are talking about not liking her. I think it's similar to like A Court of Thorns and Roses, in that Feyre is just immature, but like becomes a lot more likable as you read.
And I think Selena is actually younger than Feyre, so it honestly kind of makes sense.
Yeah. I think it all adds up. And it was, I honestly never disliked her. I loved her from the start. She's like a very like teeth bared, claws, like ready to fight to the death, which I always love.
She's snarky.
Yeah. And she's rude. And to the point where she pushes people, like she does get punched in the face. We can talk about that moment later, maybe. But she kind of deserves it. Anyway, I'm not going to spoil what that's about. So yeah. And now one of our biggest questions, how was the pacing? How long did it take you to read? Can any of us even remember?
No. I remember, but that's because I'm slightly insane. It took me one sitting to read both times.
Oh my God.
You heard it here. She was crazy as a friggin' 16-year-old.
I mean, okay. So that's the interesting thing is this book, it took me one sitting. Book two, it took me almost a year when I was 16 to finish. Like, it took me a while. So I was interested, but not totally in the series.
Yeah, it probably only took me like 2 or 3 days. Also, context, like I said, it was lockdown. I was just reading.
I think we were in second lockdown, like Omicron variant kind of lockdown when I was reading Throat of Glass. So that would kind of make sense as well.
Yeah, this you was were, like, because I remember.
Yeah, this was early lockdown pre-meeting these two that I was reading it.
Well, yeah. And then Casey saw me reading like a fiend when we were locked in our apartment.
Yeah, because I remember I read it probably like a month after you, because you were reading it while I was starting ACOTAR.
But anyway. Yeah, as far as pacing goes, it gets kind of slow in the middle. Between the trials, she's like walking around the castle.
I just remember there was a part where the magical, mysterious deaths were even becoming redundant. And I was like, Okay, somebody needs to figure something out because this is just a little boring.
Yeah,
we like need the beginning is really interesting because she's like plucked out of prison, thrown in the castle, and has this like secret assassin history. And you're like, okay. And then it's just kind of like, all right, when she's going to kick everyone's ass, come on.
A lot of like training montages, to be sure.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And some like conversations that lead to some romancy stuff, but it's like a lot of talking. I was like, come on, where's the action?
Yeah, even I was like, where's the action? So
yeah,
it's still not a badly paced book. It's YA. It's not hard to read.
No,
it's short enough that it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of the pacing, would you watch a movie or TV show of this book?
You see, I feel like Selena would be a very difficult actress to cast.
Yes.
I agree.
And everything for me hinges on who that actress would be. Because, again, we've talked about this before. YA can really get done dirty by Hollywood. And I can see, honestly, it becoming a book. I can see it becoming a movie, a series of movies, and I can see them being really fucking bad.
Yeah, for sure. And like this one, yeah, maybe. But as the world gets, like the series goes on, the world gets so much bigger and so much more complex. I'm like, this seems like a pretty big undertaking. If you're going to like do it and do it all the way, it's a lot.
Yeah, and I believe SJM has sold the movie rights to this series, but the production company that she sold it to, I think it's Hulu, but I could be wrong, has done nothing with it. They haven't really taken it up.
I have an update for you.
Oh.
Sort of. TikTok fan theory, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, back when the rights to this were first acquired for a TV series, Sarah J. Maas moved to LA to be with the writing team. Well, eventually she moved back to New York because it wasn't going anywhere. When Akatar was acquired, she also moved to LA. She just moved back to New York.
Oh, so that's not happening again.
Yeah, it sounds like she's really wanting to. These are all rumors, of course. Keep it, you know, really close to what she's written. And I don't think that's how it's going. So I think it's just kind of stalled.
And that's fair. Like, stand up for your work. Like, this is her baby. This is her livelihood, is making this world. Like, you got to stand up for it.
Yeah.
Right.
We love a difficult. So
that may or may not be true, but she has recently moved back to New York, apparently. So.
Well, I stay in SJM, even if we're not getting a TV series from her.
Honestly, great. Let it live in my head. I want to picture these hot, sexy men the way I picture them. Mm-hmm. Like, I always think about Harry Potter and, like, how I pictured him reading the books. And I saw him on TV. I was like, who's this nerd? Anyway, sorry, Daniel Radcliffe. You turned out all right by, like, 35, but...
Damn.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my favorite time of all. Busy girl rating.
You remembered it.
For you to say spoiler
alert. I did. I could see it on your faces too. I was like, no, I'm remembering this time.
Well, my busy girl rating is a 5. It's a really quick read and it gets you really into the fantasy genre. And I think especially if you're a busy young professional or even like a busy teenager, because I remember high school was like a wild ride of busyness and clubs and activities. Perfect book to pick up and put down.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the correct audience for this, a YA reader, 5 stars. If you're an adult who doesn't read YA and pick this up because you love SJM, it really shouldn't be a problem for you. I understand the feedback. Some people think it's dry, but I think that's because they come from Akatar to this and don't realize she wrote it at 16. So context is key, but it's an easy read.
I agree. Busy girl 5 for me. I think this book has been a little underappreciated in comparison to her other series. So I'm really excited that people are sort of turning back to it.
Okay, well, now do you want to say it?
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
So yeah, please stop here if you have not read Throne of Glass, because we are definitely going to spoil it for you. And there's kind of a lot to spoil. We're going to try not to spoil any of the future books, but we obviously know what happens in the next few books. But we're going to try and stay true to just talking about this book, and we'll talk about those books in a future episode. So come back after you've read it.
All right. First question. Let's jump to the beginning of the book. What do you think of Selena when you first meet her? You've got like prison bound chick. And like, not to do every question comparing it to other SJM books, but just like from the start, how does she compare to the other two heroines that kick off her other series? How it's so hard to say series plural.
Series.
I butchered it like 3 times already.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot. SJM's written a lot of books.
I can say I loved her. I loved her from the start. To me, she was Katniss with actually a little more depth. I love that she had this really hardcore past. It was really dark. And I mean, I think she's SJM's most, so with the exception of Nesta, most savage female lead. And I took to her immediately. I really liked her. I recognized she's immature, but worth following.
I mean, she's a realistic teenager. I think a lot of books don't write realistic, immature teenagers.
Who's been raised by an assassin king.
Yeah, exactly. All she's known since she was like 9 is being an assassin and being trained to be a killer. And people keep expecting her to be different than a killer. Like, they're just like, why are you killing people? That's wrong. And she's like, I was raised like this to survive. And she's like
Oliver, but with murder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the fact that she is not broken and brutal and just like a stone cold killer is quite impressive. Like, she's managed to keep her sense of humor and her morality. And she really is only killing for either her survival or the survival of others. So I think she is probably one of SJM's best written heroines. I think she's better than Feyre, not gonna lie.
Well, yeah, and in that sense, she's tough enough that when you meet her, she's in prison standing up for other prisoners before she gets plucked out, while Feyre's kind of like, woe is me. But she does start them in the same place where they're kind of just destitute little street urchins
trying
to fend for themselves and get plucked out of their situation and put into something glamorous.
Yes.
Bryce doesn't fall under that.
No, Bryce is her own character.
She is a sad girl, but for different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, there's trauma. It's a fantasy world and it's SJM. There always is.
They're very like dramatic said, things.
She
that
rides
happen.
Trauma very well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So going along our SJM trend, our SJM train, this is her first series and it's YA. We've talked about this a little bit, but are there differences that you see that sort of set Throne of Glass apart?
I think the characters are technically younger in Throne of Glass, at least in the first two books. Most of the main characters are younger than her other books, where they're like in their 20s or like just hitting their 20s. These are teenagers who are playing in an adult's game. And you definitely can tell that as you read it as an adult, it's a bunch of teenagers playing in an adult chessboard where they have to figure out how to be older than they actually are, but also like they're immature, they're sheltered, either sheltered princes or traumatized teenage girls.
Yeah. The game is chess, and they not a single character knows how to play chess.
Yeah, they're playing checkers. And so they're kind of having to learn how to be adults in a brutal kingdom. So it's very interesting. There's no smut either. So in the first few books, there's no smut. So if you came for SJM for the smut, sorry to disappoint. This is not the series for you.
There's not a lot of smut in general.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I agree with everything you've said. I think her world building is a little bit weaker in this book, but it's her first book. She really mastered that later down the line. And I would even say just later on in the series. But the first book, you're kind of like, I don't understand the context of this kingdom necessarily, other than they're trying to conquer other places. Anyway, that's a very, you know, teenage perspective of feudalism.
Right.
And while I think it's not true for all characters, I think her character building is actually still really, really great, especially for Selena. So I'm impressed that she wrote this so young, because her character building has remained excellent.
I agree. I think apart from the tropes, and I agree with you, the world building, you can already tell that SJM is going to be an amazing author. I just think, well, I lost my train of thought there. The point is, she has managed to make characters that are worth reading, and that is sort of the highlight of Throne of Glass. I think book three in this series is where you can really see the SJM we know and love.
100%. We'll
agreed.
Get
Well, speaking of characters and character development, there are two gentlemen that suddenly enter Selena's life.
The trope that must not be named.
Prince Dorian, who is the one who asks her to be plucked out of the prison. And then his lovable golden retriever of death, Kale Westfall. Spelled troll.
Who doesn't want to kill people.
Golden retriever of death.
I don't know. He's like follows his friend around and does whatever he's told.
But he never killed anyone.
Well, it happens in this book. Spoiler. He's like a soldier. He's the captain of the prince's guard, and he does whatever Dorian tells him. They
he's
get
a princess little boy, and he's a figurehead.
Yeah, he's a figurehead.
I know. They get like a decent amount of page time in this book, some from their perspective even. So you do get a decent character development from them also, which turns into a sort of love triangle. But what did you think of their overall development and how that played into Selena's story?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you.
Catherine's about to go off.
Because here's the thing. I didn't always hate love triangles. I was okay with it when I was 16 and read it. But I was mad that Kale ended up being the one who she kind of ends up with at the end.
Sort of.
Weird relationship. She tells Prince Dorian no, essentially, at the end of this book.
Yeah, but she doesn't tell Kale yes.
Yeah, but like it's kind of implied of like something gonna happen. But I liked Dorian better. I thought he was more interesting. He had like a darker past. Kale just has a stick up his ass and like a weird sense of morality. Cause like, he's just like, oh, what you do is wrong, but I'm the captain of a guard to a murdering megalomaniac king who is like, just like putting people in slave camps. And I've seen these slave camps and I'm totally fine with that. But you killing a person is not okay. Like, it's just a weird moral compass. So I just didn't like him, and I didn't like him basically throughout the entire series. So I had very strong opinions about him, but I love Dorian. I think he's a very interesting character.
Where I am in the series, I think Dorian's fine. I don't have any beef with him, but I don't love him. Where Kale lost me was when we figure out that he's, you know, allegedly like head of the guard, but he really doesn't do shit, and the king has his own personal guard that he's actually in charge of. So Kale is really just like a figurehead for nothing, and doesn't really have any power. And I was just like, my genuine opinion though after reading this book was, I don't really like either of these men enough to root for them. Yeah, I was disappointed with the love interests. I was reading for Selena. I thought she was way more interesting than either of them. And I was like, neither of these guys really compare to her. They don't get her. They don't support her. Like, they're just not enough for her. And so I was just very like bleh on all of it.
I agree. I think you're more rooting for whichever one you think will get Selena out of the situation she's in.
Yes.
I thought both were fine in like a very, you know, teenage, like, oh, cute prince, cute soldier, helping her out kind of way, you know, like in a more wholesome way than like my adult reality is. I know neither of them are like great for her, you know, but a girl can dream at 16. Mm-hmm. And honestly, she sets it up really well for the rest of the books.
Team male friendships and not making love triangles.
Yeah,
honestly.
So Catherine's put a little question in here. Would you agree to be the king's assassin in order to win your freedom for 4 years?
If I was
supposed to say yes.
Yeah, if I was as smart as Selena, yes. But I don't think I'm as smart as her.
Or as tough. I think I'd just be like, nah, leave me here to die. It'll come faster.
Yeah.
If I had her skills, I think I would.
Sure.
But, you know, obviously I'm not a trained assassin, so there's no way I could even hope. And like me as I am now, I'd be like, I've not even killed a one. Like, how am I going to make this my whole job? Like, I don't even know.
Also, if I was her and did accept that and then got to the castle and found all these secret tunnels, I would have been like, peace.
Oh, I would have been so out.
I would have been gone.
You know, I'm kind of like, I would be interested in the secret tunnels. The dark creatures coming out of those. Yeah, I'd be gone.
Yeah. I'll jump in the sewer and swim out to freedom.
I think if I was a slave like her, I would have agreed to anything that would give me reprieve from being a slave. Do I think I could have actually won The title, absolutely not.
No, that's not going to happen for me.
But it's also not like she really had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
She was like plucked out of the prison and kind of told like, you should probably do this. She's like, I guess I have no choice.
Yeah.
Well, what did you guys think of the idea of this competition? It's like a Hunger Games style competition for to be the next assassin. And then which trial was your favorite one?
Guys, if you give me a fantasy book with trials in it, oh my God, I'm so sold. Hunger Games, Inheritance Games, Trial of the Sun Queen, The Serpent in the Wings of Night, like sign me up. I honestly don't remember enough about the trials, so I'll just let you guys answer them.
I also do not remember the trials. The only thing I remember is like the tunnels and the discovery of magic, and her putting those pieces together, which makes me think the trials were sort of so-so in comparison to the rest of the book, but that's simply because I don't have any memory of them.
See, I don't remember exactly like which trial was my favorite, but the thing that was my favorite about the trials was it showed Selena's humanity because she wanted to help people that she knew were good people. Like she helped her friend, I believe is Knox, get mm-hmm. through the trials. And she just was really smart. Like she was just so much smarter than her competitors, like knew about poisons, knew about everything, and just showed that she had kind of a mastermind. And it was where you could see that she has a mastermind, because there are moments in these first two books where you kind of want to bang your head against the wall because she's being very dumb or being very like not wanting to confront reality. But there are moments in these books where you realize she's a really smart person. And she
I do remember her pretending like she wasn't and like purposely finish in the middle or whatever.
So she wouldn't be looked at notice. That's when you know she's smart, is that she's mm-hmm. like, I don't want to be first because then everyone's going to be looking at me. If I finish in the middle, I know I can't get eliminated. But at the same time, I'm just middle of the pack.
I do remember the final challenge when it gets thrown and she's supposed to lose to Kane. But it's not as much the challenge part I liked. It was the conflict of Kale ending up taking his first life to protect Selena justly, like, and how that added so much to his character's complexity that the captain of the Prince's Guard finally had to take a life. That's all I really remember that I liked about the trials.
Yeah, because Selena is poisoned and then she has to fight Kane, and Prince Dorian can't get involved, but Kale gets involved, and there's like this whole Elena and like this mythical like weird marks and world going on while she's poisoned and people are coming through because Kane is possessed by like
honestly that last battle was like an acid trip.
It is kind of an acid trip because you don't know the like things behind it. It's just happening and you're like, what, and
she's poisoned, so you don't know, is this real or is this not?
Yeah. And so it's all kind of crazy. And then I thought it was interesting that Kale takes his first life and he feels so conflicted about it. I don't know if that's a spoiler for the next book, but I mean,
that's what I just said.
Yeah. But like, yeah, whatever. But yeah, it's so interesting because I'm like, yeah, but he was possessed by a demon boy.
Yeah.
Like, what I really remember is that I loved the word marks or the weird marks, however you say it.
I think it's weird marks.
They are weird marks.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Sorry, Catherine just like visibly like cringed at my joke there.
I rolled my eyes too. Yeah.
But yeah. Okay, so what's our next question?
Let's talk about the piece of shit that's Dorian's dad.
Yeah. He's just known as the king. That's the crazy part of this. He's just the king. King of Alderaan. Like, doesn't have a name. He just exists. And he's a piece of shit.
Becomes interesting later. But yes, he's just the king. Daddy king.
He's a king that lives in a fucking glass castle. Like, who in their goddamn right mind makes a castle out of glass?
Someone who thinks they're really secure and powerful.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a show of might. Not of intelligence. But what do you think about how he kind of, you are trying to figure out how he's tied in to all of this maybe the whole time, and what the real reason for the competition is? Like, there's some, like, I don't know, some espionage vibes going on. Like, what were your thoughts on those?
I like the spy thriller of it, like where Selena's trying to figure out what the weird marks are. What are weird marks? What are these demons coming through and killing all of my competitors? Why are they possessing people? And like, how does this connect to the king? How does it connect to his duke? Like, it's very interesting. Like, I love a good Scooby-Doo mystery, and I thought that was cool.
Scooby-Doo. They do have the innocence of a bunch of teens solving a mystery.
Yeah.
And wait, there was a dog, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Well, there was.
There was. I forgot a about the dog.
Yeah.
It works. They're Scooby Gang.
They are a really hardcore Scooby Gang.
A member of the gang, maybe my favorite member of the gang, Nehemiah.
Yes, I love her. She is so smart. And I love like that she's like in a kingdom that she knows is actively trying to destroy her kingdom. So she's trying to like see and feel out things, but she also is trying to speak their language. And then Selena meets and they like can speak with each other in her language and they become friends. Like, it's really cute.
It is. She's so smart. Yeah. But then you figure out she's kind of behind, like she knows some more than you even really think. You're like, wait a second.
Oh, she's definitely keeping secrets, and that's obvious.
But so is Selena. So
I loved her. I thought she was a great friend, and I felt like Selena in this book really needed an ally, especially because her only other allies are boys who there's tension with, and the book was just really in need of a true friend, and I thought she was like really great in that role.
And how they could relate, because Nehemiah was trying to liberate her people who were living in the same conditions Selena was as a slave, so they can like relate on that level of being wronged and being enslaved, even though Nehemiah herself wasn't, but her people were.
And right. It just brings, I loved her whole perspective.
Yeah. It brings back the importance of language and a shared language, because Nehemiah is having trouble in this court, or so she seems, and Selena can speak her tongue, and Ilwe, I think is what it was. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't know.
But it's very sweet to build that relationship through language and through shared culture and shared, because obviously we know that Selena's not from Adarlan.
I thought it was a Darlin.
A Darlin?
Yeah. The first book I read had pronunciations in the back, and it was like the word darling, like, oh, darling, a Darlin.
A Darlin. And so they're from two different kingdoms that a Darlin is, you know, doing some shady shit to.
It really is a mature friendship, too. I feel like in this, you would expect from a YA book for them to bond over like, oh, cute prince, you know, but they bond over like language and reading and learning and pain.
It has nothing to do with a man.
Nope.
I love that point. Passes the Bechdel test 100%.
Facts.
I kind of already said the next one. Sorry.
Well, we've kind of touched on this. And how Caitlin and Casey would never go into these secret passages. But a huge part of this book is Selena finds this secret passage connected to her room that takes her down to meet this ghost of a past, a Darlin queen named Elena. And she's got a lot of secrets. And although she helps Selena at the end of the book, there is definitely something going on. What did you think about this whole plot point of Elena and the past of a Darlin coming up to the future and this foreshadowing to future books?
think it's kind of the past of the whole country, not just, or the whole continent. I don't know. I got really confused in this part. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I got really confused. There was just all of a sudden like information overload while still trying to do the trials. And then the doorknob was talking and I was like, what is happening? Is this Beauty and the Beast? And the like ghost lady was kind of shady for a while. And you're like, what is the point of you? Can you get to the point? Do something. Which eventually it happened, but it felt really muddled to me for a while.
Oh yeah, ghost lady pissed me off.
Yeah.
I just knew she was keeping something.
Yeah, I agree with those comments. For most of it, you're not quite sure whose side she's really on and who she's really helping. And in like Caitlin said, like the lore of her existence feels a little incomplete. And so you're like confused about like the true objectives. But I think by the end, it sort of makes sense.
Yeah, she's trying to help Selena, but also is got some ulterior motives in helping Selena. And like, I obviously don't want to spoil for other books, but like she definitely gets brought up a lot more in the other books. Some of them, not others, but she comes back a lot and how past can doom the present.
And it starts to make more sense, but the first book, you just don't have all the puzzle pieces. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to put together this incomplete puzzle and it gets you, you get through the book, but it just leaves you feeling kind of like, eh.
I'd say it like this. It was an Easter egg laid too early. Yes. SJM, I think, could have just written this first book without her and introduced this concept later or introduced it differently. Because it was a little weird.
I agree. I think it jammed too much of it in. And like, I'm fine with leaving things unfinished, but it felt like we were leaving a lot of things unfinished. And I was like, what? And like, honestly, it doesn't get fully resolved until book 9, which is like the crazy part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she should have just held off on it.
I agree. It was like, you already had a really interesting plot with the trials. I'm not sure you needed this side plot that started like halfway through the book that was already different than the other magical things happening as a subplot in the book. I was like,
yeah, there's a lot of magic that like, I don't know if SJM made up this magic or something, but I had no reference point for this magic. So it's trying to learn an entirely new continent with entirely new characters and an entirely new magical system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot.
It was a lot. So we kind of mentioned earlier that in the final battle, it's kind of a fight to the death to see who's going to be the king's hand. And Selena in the end ends up, she like defeats one guy and then has to fight Kane. And between the matches, that crazy chick whose name I forget, does the dirty bidding of the king's buddy and poisons Selena's cup so that she's fighting this jumbo man who keeps growing somehow while dying.
Yeah, like you find out he's been absorbing the other contestants. So he's absorbed everyone.
And you're confused by all this word mark magic thing. And then those come into play and stuff's coming out of portals. And like, I'm going to go ahead and say I was still kind of like, what? But what did you guys think?
It was an acid trip. You said it right before. Like,
agree.
I was confused. I was like, can no one else see this? Like, things are coming out of portals and like only she can see it. Like, I thought.
But then Nehemia sees it and is like.
Yeah. Like, so Nehemia sees it and then like,
I don't know.
Portal. Like, so you knew that it was happening and it wasn't just in her head, but like, how did no one else fucking see it?
You know, this is so random, the point that it brings up in my mind, but the scene that I picture so clearly when this happened was Snape defending Harry in the Quidditch match.
Stop.
When he's just like muttering like defensive spells under his breath. That's what I picture.
Honestly?
Now I'm getting the picture of them lighting his cloak on fire and now you've ruined me.
But yeah, it was an acid trip. I honestly couldn't tell you much about it. It's just, it's a lot going on at once.
When it was like, yeah. I'm dying. And Nehemia's like, no, you're not, bitch. I got you. Problems all solved. I was like, what?
Yeah. I was like, I don't even know how to feel. But at the end of it, Selena has won the competition and she becomes the king's champion. What did you think of the ending?
I mean, kind of like we said earlier, it left it a really wide open world ahead. Like, is she going to do the king's bidding? Where is she going to go to do all of this? Like, what's next? How does Dorian and Kel play in? Like, you kind of are left with a bit of a resolution, but a lot to look forward to. But also, you don't want her to work for the king now. And I don't know. It definitely made me want to keep going.
Yeah, the only resolution was that she won the competition. And that opened up more questions than answers. So honestly, there was no resolution.
And now you've got this weird magic shit from Nehemia, and you're like, what?
Yeah, you start. Yeah, they're dropping hints about that, like, substance they all have. Everyone who's close to the king has. It's just like there's so many questions. And I did want to know. I was like, I want to know how Selena gets out from under the king's thumb.
Yeah, 100%.
Or doesn't. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is she just going to do his bidding for like 4 or 5 years? Like, that's not her.
Yeah. Kill innocent people who are trying to overthrow him just like she would like to do.
Yeah. No, it made me want to read and want to read immediately because I had so many questions that just needed to be answered.
See, this is where I had to like refresh myself before this and figure out where it stopped because no one was stopping me from just reading these all as one. I basically read it like one giant book. Like, I have no idea where one book starts and stops. And it's just one big story. And I think that's good credit to her that you can read it like that.
Yeah.
But definitely wanted me to, like, I wanted to sit down and just keep reading.
It's a credit to her, but also at the same time, none of her other book series, I think, are totally like that.
No. But I think in getting better at like creating an actual ending, she sort of sacrificed that like feel of like one long story, which I don't know if that's good or bad. I kind of like that the ACOTAR books feel a little more complete when you get to the end of them, but they definitely don't have that same feeling of like five books that are all actually one book.
Yeah. But that just means that we have another book to review and many more after that.
Yeah. Yay.
Well, do I even dare ask what book recommendations are? Because it's SJM.
I don't have
I,
any.
I do.
Oh.
Mine is The Ashes and the Starcursed King.
I have a YA recommendation that I may have recommended before, but the book series I was obsessed with as a teen was the Mortal Instruments series, which starts with City of Bone. They're kind of assassiny. There's demons. There's a girl plucked out of obscurity. I think they're both redheads. I don't know. Yeah, I would say, especially if there are teens in your life who you are getting to read these books, those are a good second step.
Yeah.
But they're more like urban fantasy.
No, they are urban fantasy. They're present day fantasy. So it's not, it's not like high fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll recommend this, and it's on our, it's like our next week's episode. So, you know, it works out well. Trial of the Sun Queen has very similar vibes to this book. The main character is essentially the main character of this book, and it's a trial to become a wife, and people are dying during those trials. So it's very similar, just with different context.
Honestly, when I was like refreshing myself for Throne of Glass, I was like, oh my God, this is so similar to the book we just read. So good recommendation.
All right. Well, there you have it. That's the end. We want you to disagree. These are our opinions. Let us know if you really passionately believe we're wrong or we missed something or you just have some point that you really want to talk about with us. We love talking about books. And you can engage in our conversation online. Our handle is @BusyGirlsPod almost everywhere.
Yeah, and don't forget to rate and review our podcast wherever you listen to it. We love to see that star count go up, and we would love to see that we have more listeners listening to this. So it's really cool. So make sure to connect with us.
I'm Casey.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.